Quite an emotional week for me. Lots of neat stuff has happened. Started last Monday where I got sick and you guys had a snow day and just thought, let's just do something at the campus house and called a few of you up, and the way you guys took hold of that and honored the Lord and I don't know, just was kind of neat. Neat for me to hear comments on Facebook and comments the next day and to know that the Lord leads this place. No people, no person, no staff. It is the Lord, the one that we bow down to. And as we're singing these last two songs, it just kind of reminded me of yesterday. And I don't know if yesterday was as good of an emotional day as it was for you as it was for me, but I love the resurrection. I hate calling it Easter because that means we're identifying with like some fertility goddess or something, and I just like think that steals some of the purity of the day. But I love Resurrection Sunday, and it gives me goosebumps every year. It just does, just to think that tomb is empty and that we serve a Lord that is risen, and that it gives us victory and bonds us as a community. And so just mixtures of gratitude for being a son of the Lord, son of God, and being a part of a community that recognizes that. It's been really good this week for me. So thank you to you as well. We only have a few weeks left. Some of you are thinking, that bums me out. Others of you are thinking, really? Like to get that much longer? But these last few weeks, I really feel it's important to give you some parting shots. Some of you aren't coming back. Some of you are transferring. Some of you are graduating. Some of you are just going home for the summer. And some of you are revving up for another year. Whatever camp you're in, I feel as if God has given me a reminder of something that he wants to give to you tonight. Probably the most important practical message I could be giving to you. And it was given to Paul first in Galatians, chapter 6, verse 7. And I think I'm just going to go ahead and read that. It says here, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. We're going to talk about this one verse tonight. And the title of my series is going to be Beyond Belief. Absolutely beyond belief. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I'm kind of a simple-minded person. I'm kind of not too many things. It doesn't take much for me to be wowed. And one thing that I like to do in airports, and I get to travel a little bit, the older I'm getting, it seems like I'm doing a lot more of that. And as I get to go to these airports and we see these huge planes, and usually I'm traveling with college students, and usually I am able to kind of wow your brain too for a little bit. No offense. And usually one of the things I really like to do on trips is I like to look out the window at these planes. Hundreds of tons these things weigh. I mean, monstrosities. Have you guys really seen a 747 before, like up close? It is amazing. It is huge. It is absolutely beyond my belief that these things can fly. And it just makes me wowed at that idea. And I get to thinking about this. Someone once asked me this question, and I like to ask it to other people. What wows you more, the fact that planes can fly or that these huge ships can float? I mean, if you think about it, this little pebble is going to sink to the bottom of the ocean, but this thing that weighs hundreds of tons is just going to float. And you guys are thinking that's not hard to understand. Well, for me, it just blows my mind. It's beyond belief. And this last trip, I was not traveling with college students. I was traveling with one of my board members, used to be one of my college students, Tim. And we're strolling through the airport, and we're looking out the window, and we see that big 747, and I think, I know a question I'm going to ask him, right? Tim, what's more impressive to you? What's more beyond belief to you, that planes can fly or ships can float? And he turned to me without batting an eye, and he said, it's just math. Yeah, pretty much. It's just math. And we've learned that equation, and we have leveraged it for our benefit, and we have boats that float, and we have planes that fly. It's just math. It's just a principle. It's just something that you leverage for yourself, and it works either for you or against you. Some boats don't float. Didn't do the equation right. Some planes don't fly. Didn't add up right. And yet, we look at our lives very much in a different capacity, don't we? We say, God, could you just please bless our life? Would you just bless me in my grades? Would you bless me in my relationships? Would you bless me with finances? Would you bless me in my job? Would you bless me with my kids? Would you bless me? And we just somehow think that there's a magic wand and God's going to be like, you're going to get some money and you're going to be smart. And you're like, yeah. That's how it works. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. This principle is as true as the math equation that makes planes fly. It really is. It's very simple stuff. And a lot of you can say, you know, I it's not hard for you guys to understand some of this, but for others of you and for other areas of your life, this is impossible for you to understand. For instance, for some of you, it doesn't take a lot for you to understand that eating right and exercise has benefits. And consequently, having a steady diet of Twizzlers and Polar Pops is going to have consequences. Right? I hear yeah in the front. And it's something we get. We understand that. We understand working out. We understand eating right. We understand this kind of thing. But what we don't understand sometimes is how this applies in every other facet of life. It's really amazing. It's amazing to you. You don't understand money yet, probably. I don't really feel like I fully understand money, but it's kind of wild to think that all you really have to do is put $100 a month away at your age, and by the time you retire, you're going to have $1 million. What? How does that work? It's beyond belief, isn't it? Some people that really do truly abuse their bodies, the consequences are beyond belief. The people that train, some of you here are training for marathons or half marathons. I'm so proud of you. And just that rhythm of every day here and there, it doesn't feel like you're doing much right now. But at the end, what do they always say? Trust your training, and what you can do is beyond what you can imagine. Beyond belief. You've tasted a little bit of that. But I am telling you that this is so true. But here's why it doesn't seem as true. Here's why we are deceived. There's a number of reasons why. And the first is this. Because it takes a long time for it to come to fruition. Longer than we're willing to wait. We are in an instant gratification culture. We click a button and we want it now. This principle is about sowing. You know what sowing is? It's planting. Sowing is planting, it is weeding, it is working the ground. And it isn't immediate, is it? It takes time for this to come to fruition, which you are going to harvest. My dad is a strange man. Ben, I'm going to ask you a question out of the blue here. How many tomato plants do you plant usually in your garden? Five? And that's enough to, I mean, you've got enough for your family, a big family at that. You've got enough for neighbors. You've got enough to bring to the campus house. You've got enough maybe even to can. Five tomato plants. I mean, you've got tomatoes, okay? These things multiply beyond belief. The church that I go to, Jacob's Well, they plant about 30 to 35 tomato plants. They have so many tomato plants that when you're at church, they're just pushing them on you. They got bags of them. They're just pushing. Tomato, you want some tomatoes? Well, you need some tomatoes. I got some tomatoes for you. It's beyond belief what these 35 plants can provide for you. It's beyond belief. They've even got some left over, and they give it to the soup kitchens, and they give it to people here in town. They donate it to anyone in the neighborhood that wants to come. Just come. Just come and pick tomatoes, please. We got so many tomatoes. My dad acts as if he was born in the Great Depression and finds it necessary to provide. And he has a garden that is bigger than some farmers' fields. Really? And I called my mom because I happen to know a little bit about tomato plants and what they actually can produce in my little world down here. And my memories back home are just kind of like, really? Did that really happen? I had to call my mom to confirm it today. Mom, how many tomato plants does Dad plant every... 75. 75 tomato plants. My dad plants every year. You never know, some might die. You need to have some. You got to have some extra. My mom cans all summer long tomatoes. There's tomatoes. It reeks of tomatoes. They're fermenting on the vine. There's so many of them. 75. Now, my dad, to be fair, is not completely sane, okay? But what is amazing to me is that this principle, Jesus knew, Paul knew, this principle of what you sow, you're going to reap, is not a 50-50 kind of thing. It isn't like proportionate. It's not like you put in 10, you get 10 later. No, it's always later, and it's always greater, like beyond belief greater, always. I'm going to say it again. It's always later, and it's always greater. This old preacher that my mom used to listen to, Charles Stanley, on the radio, it was his line, later and greater. And he would say that over and over again, and there's something resonatingly true about that, because what we don't understand right now is that there is going to be a payback. You are going to reap something later in every area of your life. You're going to reap something. And it's going to be much greater than you think, or much worse than you think. There are people I know that are just going through an absolute hellish experience in their marriage. And then there's people like me. And my wife and I are hitting all-time highs in our relationship with each other, loving each other, enjoying each other. Life couldn't be any better for me right now. It really couldn't. And I'm not trying to do that to rub nose in it. I want you to see what it can be. And for me, it's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. It's better than I ever dreamt. It's beyond belief. And I have to tell some stories tonight. I have to tell some stories tonight about some people I dearly love. And I don't think it's somebody you know, but I gotta share it. Because this young girl is, for a lot of you, it's you. And this young girl's name is Gina. And Gina lived next door to me, and we ended up buying her house. And Gina poured so much time and energy and affection into my kids and was an awesome babysitter. And she was one of those kids that just kind of did the right thing. She kept her nose clean, kind of the phrase, you know. And she ended up meeting a guy her senior year. And she really, really fell in love with this guy. And he gave her words of encouragement, words of affirmation, said things like, "You are pretty." And she loved those words. And she would say things like, "You're really strong." And he would say, "Yeah, I know." And he would say, "You're really pretty again." And she'd say, "Really?" And they would start to lean, and they would start to tell each other the things that they really liked to hear. And they pushed on each other, and they leaned on each other. And the tension became kind of great, because we all know that we're not really built to hold each other, but we act like we are. And they just kind of pressed upon each other, and she would tell him how much, how strong she thought he was, and he would tell her how pretty she thought she was, and he thought she was. And this would just kind of go back and forth, and that was kind of their fallback. But as you know, that doesn't hold weight over time. And there was a tension that was building, and they just thought, as this tension's building, and they couldn't possibly hold each other up, because neither of them had sowed a pattern in their life of health, of discipline, of character. And as that built, and as the tension built, they kind of thought maybe putting a ring on their fingers is really going to hold them together. And her mom and dad came and visited 2 weeks ago, stopped by the house, and Gina's been living in California for a while. I said, "How is Gina?" And they said, "Gina's been separated for 6 months, and it's because of that damn war. He's having that post-stress stuff going on within his body, and he's starting to drink, and it's that war, man. It's just that, it's that military life, and it's the, and I'm telling you, I had a conversation with Gina 3 years ago in the house that she was raised in, sitting there with her, and she asked me, "Is this a healthy thing?" And I said, "Gina, it's going to end poorly the way you're going. You're not sowing the kind of things into your relationship that are going to produce fruit later." And she walked out of the room, and she didn't want to ask me anymore. What she wanted me to say was, "Absolutely, you guys are going to be awesome together." And I didn't tell her that. And she never asked again. Parents come in, and they're just like, "How can you tell these things? I mean, the war, you know, it's the war. That's the problem. I mean, how, these things catch us upside, blindside, and how can you see them happen?" And I'm thinking, excuse me? Not because I'm so wise. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. But because I know this as well as you know this. God cannot be mocked. You cannot deceive yourself. A man reaps what he sows. And it works with money, and it works with relationships. I know it works also with like just friendships. And if you are sowing in a relationship where you are always feeling like you need to talk behind someone else's back in order to get close with this person, you know what I'm saying? It's the kind of thing like when you're in class and the only way that you really can bond with the person next to you is to talk about how crappy the teacher is. And you kind of carry that mentality into life. And it's like, you know, the only way I'm going to bond with this person is to talk behind this person's back or behind this person's back. This is the kind of thing that's called gossip. And this is the kind of thing that we end up becoming addicted to. And if this is what you are sowing, and you're sowing, and you're sowing, and you're sowing, it doesn't seem like it's really affecting a whole lot. But I'm telling you, at the end of the road, 20 years down the road, there will be no one in your life. No one's going to want to be with you. And yet there's people back here at this starting point that are going through life and they're kind of doing things the right way. And they're not gossiping and they're investing in people and they're doing the servant kind of thing. And there's people like Austin and Kyle and Cody who are getting up on Saturday morning and they're helping somebody move that they don't even know, and they're investing and they're working and they're plodding along, and it seems like everyone else is kind of doing their own thing. And it's like, man, they're not really getting the negative consequences to their action, and it doesn't really feel like I'm really paying off much, but you got to wait later. You wait later and you wait greater, and there's going to be something rewarding here. And here's the reason that we don't see it so much at your age. Because you're all at the starting gate, in a way. I'm not saying some of you have more experience than others as far as life, but I'm telling you, most of you are moving along, and it just seems like it doesn't matter if you go to class or you don't go to class. It just seems like everyone gets kind of the same grade. It doesn't seem like those people that actually go to work every single day and those people that are skipping out on work and calling in sick all the time, it doesn't really seem like there's much of a difference here. It doesn't really seem like this person who's cheating on his girlfriend, this person who's really faithful to his girlfriend, it doesn't really seem like there's a whole lot of difference right here. I might as well live it up, man. It's college. It doesn't really seem like the person that's drinking all the time and the person that has restraint, it doesn't seem like there's really a lot of difference. Like, they're both having a pretty good time, and why wouldn't I just do it this way? It doesn't really seem like there's a whole lot of difference because you're at the starting gate. You are in the sowing gate. You're at the time of your life where you are sowing. And there's a time coming later and a time that's coming greater when you're going to reap what you sow. And this can be an incredibly freeing message for you, encouraging message for you, or this can be a scary message for you. So if you're thinking, man, Pete, you're getting kind of heavy. Well, it is heavy. But it can be an awesome kind of heavy. Beautiful kind of a rewarding thing. Now, here's the problem. Back here, and just one more example. I just this happened. Leah Potter, awesome former person that lived, was a part of our ministry. Anything that's been painted beautifully at the campus house, like the murals, Leah Potter did those. She is now Leah Richter, did her wedding a few years back, and had a difficult time getting kids, and now she's adopted a couple of kids, a little 2-year-old and a little 3-year-old girl just last week. And they're coming into her house. They're not adopted yet. It's kind of the foster parent thing. And so they are scared. Can you imagine? Like, boom, you got 2 kids. Never had kids before in your life. And so she's calling Paulette, and she's calling me, and she's like, what are we doing? I think I made a mistake. I think I let them brush their teeth too long the other night and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's kind of cute, you know? And one of my friends went and visited him this weekend and came back, and he was explaining things. And he says, they've got this, they're really, really cute. They're really, really cute. And they do this thing where they say, mine, mine, mine. It's really cute. It's really, really cute. And I was like, and this isn't a reflection on Lee. This is who she's just, this is a reflection on the parents before her who had him before. But do you understand what when we encourage and we laugh at and we call cute this thing of mine, when we sow that into a girl, do you know what that looks like sown into a 9 and 10-year-old girl? Do you know what that looks like when you sow mine into a girl throughout her years and she ends up being 15, 16 years old? Do you know what that looks like? Do you know what you're sowing? What you're reaping? We got parents. My wife talks at work with these different people at work, and she just pulls her hair out. She can't believe some of the stories that she hears of what some of these teenage kids are doing. But you know, it's a lot of it has to do with what you sow is what you're going to reap later. And you guys are all at a really awesome stage of life where you have an opportunity to sow the kind of fruit, sow the kind of seed intentionally into your life that you need to sow. And here is how we deceive ourselves. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. The reason I share that story about Gina isn't to trample on her name. She's a wonderful girl. I love her, and I just know she's a story of a million other girls. A million. That might be sitting here. And here's where I believe Gina deceived herself. She took a road that was the path of least resistance. She didn't work discipline in. She didn't work in any sort of a restraint in her life. She took the path of least resistance, and what felt good must be right. And you know, when you haven't got an awful lot of life experience, that kind of makes sense. Just do what feels right. I mean, it kind of worked out in kindergarten. It kind of worked out in elementary school. It kind of worked out at the baseball team. We all got a trophy. I just sat in left field and picked dandelions. I don't know. I got a trophy. Took the path of least resistance, and it just kind of worked out for me. And here's this guy, and he likes me, and he tells me I'm pretty, and it's just path of least resistance. That is a deceiving road. Path of least resistance. The other one, and this is big. This is for all of us. This is for me. Everybody in your life that you compare yourself with is either above you or below you. And you're going through life and you feel a little bit guilty because they're just knocking it out of the park, man. I mean, they're getting straight A's, they're doing it all right, they go to work, they've got the job lined up, they got the girlfriend, they got it all. I mean, it's like, wow. But you just kind of tell yourself, that's unrealistic. Only certain people get that. They got an extra smart gene. And if I had the extra smart gene, I'd probably be able to do the same thing as they would. They got the extra pretty gene, and that's just what happens. I mean, just look at her. I mean, goodness, whatever. That's not me. And whenever we compare to people above us, there's always something that we put with that we say, there's this little disclaimer or something that we put with it where we just say, if I would have had that, then I would do the same. I could be that if I was like them, but I'm not like them, so I'm fine. Then you get the people below you. I'm doing better than they are. Don't think I need to work too hard now. Doing better than they are. And whether it's people above you or whether it's people below you, when you compare yourself to other people, usually the result is you doing nothing. Usually the result is still taking the path of least resistance, not taking responsibility for what you have to do today, not working hard, not sowing the seed that you know you need to sow. And I am telling you that the one way in which you can help make that happen is to not look at the people to your peripheral, but you look in the mirror. And you look dead on into your own eyes and you say, what do I need to do to get where I need to go? What has God put into me to do today? And we do it. And it's a little bit by little bit by little bit. And I just love how faithfulness carries itself out. And those little things end up becoming bigger than you can believe, beyond belief. Now, this is why I kind of like my little title, because it kind of means two things. It's beyond belief in the sense that if we do sow what we're supposed to sow, the results are huge, or the results are awful. I talked to my kids this Sunday about a friend of ours that we know that's an alcoholic. And I'm not sure the kids really knew he was an alcoholic, and I pointed that out this week, and I was like, we love this guy. We love this guy with all we've got, but this guy drinks so much just to forget that he drinks. And he at one time had so much responsibility, and he had so much wealth and opportunity and 200 and some clients, and now he drinks to forget he drinks because alcohol took over his life, and the consequences of what he sowed is now being reaped, and it is bigger and worse and more painful than he's ever imagined. It's beyond belief. The other reason that we can call it beyond belief is this really isn't about belief. This really isn't about faith. This really isn't about God. This principle is something that any person from any religion or anybody that's not even religious can apply the same thing. It's beyond belief. It's outside of belief. It's just true. It's just a principle. It's just like math. It just is. And God's given us in his word this principle laid out very clearly for us because he cares for you. He's like, this is the way kind of life works. I'm going to give you a kind of a clue as to how life works. Here's how it works. Don't be deceived, and I can't be mocked. Let's go to that next screen. God cannot be mocked. I cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Here is what we usually do. We usually, we're on a small scale, you guys know what it's like to start tasting what the consequences of your sowing has brought you. It's the end of the semester, and I'm not doing so well in my classes. It's the end of the semester, and I'm like, oh crap. And there is a tendency within us to go to mom. Those teachers, I don't know what they were doing. And she just kind of gave us that assignment, and I don't know what it was. It's the teacher's fault. And then your mom kind of buys it. Yeah. Paulette doesn't buy it. And when we go to our mom and our mom kind of says, oh, that those poor teachers, and they call up and they get, and you kind of go back to your room and you kind of chuckle to yourself a little bit and you're like, mom fell for it. In a way, we kind of do that, not so intentionally, but we're looking for some kind of a cop-out. We're looking for some sort of gratification. We're looking for something. So you know what we go to? We go to our friends often. We go to our friends. And our relationship with this boyfriend is falling apart, and we just ask him, tell me, I mean, it was his fault, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, it was his fault. Absolutely. Your friends can be mocked. Your mom can be mocked. I can be mocked. God cannot be mocked. God says, I have set this principle in place. It is the way it will be. And yeah, there's consequences, and sometimes there's things that are out of your control, and people get cancer, and sometimes people practice at basketball their whole life and go to the Final Four, and their leg snaps like a pretzel. Those things happen. I get that. So I'm not saying that this is a guarantee, you know, but I want you to know the principle is true. And here's what I want us to kind of close with tonight. I'm gonna talk on this topic for a little bit longer in a couple more weeks with some specific areas. Tonight, I'm kind of just giving you the whole thing, the whole ball of wax. Some of you, it's a little bit of a joke, inside joke there. I'm giving you everything because I want you guys to ask the Lord tonight, what area of your life are you sowing poorly in? Maybe a better question is this: what area of your life are you just not sowing intentionally in? Because I'm telling you the truth, if you do not intentionally sow something in each area of your life, it will be sown for you. And the consequences are not good. And I think it would be great inventory tonight to just be like, you know what, it's the end of the semester, grades are kind of coming to a close, let me start fresh in May with a list of priorities of things that I need to intentionally weave into my life. And I've omitted some of the things that I want to talk about later, but I mean, think about the Word of God and how that weaves into your life, sown into your life. Think about the relationships in your life and how intentional are you about finding believers and people that are godly and people that are successful and people that have the life you want. Are they surrounded by you? Are you seeking them out? Are they in your life? Are you sowing them into your life? Or is it being sown for you? Financially, do you have a plan? Are you sowing things into your life? Patterns of giving, patterns of saving? There's a whole wide arrangement of things that we could cover tonight. Tonight, I want you to just identify one. And I want you to just do some homework on it. And I don't want to give you like, this is exactly what you need. You know what you probably need to do, and you need to get a pattern. But it is not going to be one night of cramming for homework that's going to produce the kind of fruit you're wanting. It needs to be sown in. I love how I feel. I have given up some things that I used to indulge in quite frequently, food-wise, drink-wise, and my wife has helped me a great deal in that. And it's taken 8 months, 12 months, 14 months of sown into my life to get to a point where I'm thinking, man, I didn't think I could feel this way. I feel young again. I feel there's certain things where it's like, you know, I know I can go out and whoop my son in basketball. It's a good feeling. I'm rambling. Let's stand. I'll pray. God, I just want to thank you for being a practical God. It is awesome to see at 43 years old how true this verse is. It is awesome to look backwards in time and to see a whole room full of 20 to 21-year-old, 22-year-old people. And Father, I am asking that tonight would be a night that one of these topics, one of these areas would really be something that would hold true to one of these, to these students, that they can look back on and they could say, it was from that moment forward that I really started to change, and I really started to sow things into my life, and I really began to see fruit. And I'm praying, God, that you would help help each of us in whatever our respective areas are to be diligent, to be intentional, because that's what you've called us to do. And I love these guys, and I thank you for what you've done and brought us through and where you're going, and with the week that you've brought me through and resurrection celebration yesterday, and for the banquet that's coming up Sunday. It's a great time to be alive, and we thank you for all of the blessings. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.